You're with us for the morning show as we talk about grief and loss. I'm Kate Archer-Kant. Thanks for being here. So depending on how you're counting, we've had 10 weeks of fear, anxiety, exhaustion, trauma, and it's not over. My WPR colleague, Anne Strainchamps, has been writing and reflecting. She's the host of To the Best of Our Knowledge, and she's been interviewing mental health professionals who say as health restrictions ease and states and countries begin to emerge from lockdown, the psychic toll of the pandemic could be severe. How has the pandemic affected your grieving process? How have you said goodbye to your loved one? Did the pandemic make it impossible to say goodbye in the way that you had wanted to? Let's talk about it. 800-642-1234. Dr. Catherine Scheer is an internist and psychiatrist and the founding director of the Center for Complicated Grief at Columbia University in New York. Dr. Scheer, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thanks so much, Kate. Thank you for having me.
How has this pandemic changed the way that we confront or deal with grief? How has it changed grief?
Well, in a way, you know, the last question, how has it changed grief? It probably hasn't changed grief dramatically because grief is such a powerful thing that's so related to the specific loss that you've had. And that's kind of what really determines it. But of course, there are so many aspects of the pandemic that have changed the way that we can kind of move forward in our grief, the way that we achieve what we think of as healing milestones of grief.
Healing milestones of grief, what do those mile markers look like?
Well, the first thing is we use an acronym HEALING to describe them. So maybe people can remember them based on an acronym, but they're not orderly and they're not, they kind of, they can occur in one after the other, and then you can go back to one. So I'll tell you what they are, but this is not meant to say that grief occurs in any kind of predictable way because it doesn't. But the healing stands for, the H stands for honor your loved one and yourself and discover your own interests and values or rediscover them. The E stands for ease emotional pain. Of course, grief is very, very emotional, and it's a good idea to open yourself to emotions, both the painful ones and also pleasant ones that will come along, and trust that you can deal with the emotional pain. It doesn't have to control you. The A stands for accept grief and let it find a place in your life. That's very, very important. Grief is something that is with us for the rest of our life when we lose someone very close. And again, that doesn't mean it's center stage the whole time, but it's there and it can kind of resurface at times and get a little bit strong, and then kind of move back into the background. L stands for learn to live with reminders of your loss, because again, when you lose someone very close, you'll find them everywhere in kind of unexpected places, expected and unexpected places. And we all kind of have to find ways to learn to live with those reminders and actually even benefit from them, which is what I stands for. Integrate memories of your loved one, let them enrich your life and help you learn and grow. The N stands for narrate stories of the death for yourself. That helps you to sort of accept the reality, which is kind of unbelievable in the beginning and sort of unthinkable, but you gradually have to come to terms with that very painful reality. And also the stories, you can share them with others, and it's often a very good idea to share the story of the death with not everyone, but with people that you're close to and people who are there for you. And then lastly, the G stands for gather others around you. Connect with your community and let your friends and family, especially the people you're close to, let them in and let them support you. And surprisingly, that's not always so easy to do when you're grieving. So again, that's the sort of package of things that it's kind of necessary and sufficient to move forward in grief. But they don't, you know, that you don't move through them in any kind of orderly way.
But there's a whole lot there in that healing acronym. We have Dr. Kathy Scheer. She's founding director of the Center for Complicated Grief at Columbia University. We're remembering the loss from COVID-19 this hour with your reflections on it at 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. Dr. Scheer, you founded the Center for Complicated Grief. What is complicated grief?
Well, complicated grief is actually kind of simple, and it has a new name, just so that you know. Its new name is prolonged grief disorder, and that's actually now an official diagnosis according to the World Health Organization, and it's being considered right this minute by the American Psychiatric Association Diagnostic and Statistical Manual, and or DSM as people know it. And what it is basically persistent impairing grief. That's really what it is. And it's characterized by pervasive and persistent yearning and longing for the person who died, or really kind of preoccupation of your thinking about that person to the point that it interferes with your life. And that's accompanied by any of a kind of range of other evidence of emotional pain. So, of course, deep sadness, often there's anger or guilt or anxiety is very common in people who are struggling with, well, actually in people who are experiencing grief. All of this is very common in early grief, but when it persists for a period longer than is comfortable for the person and their social support system, their culture, their religion, and at least 6 months past the death, or there's still debate of whether that should be at least 6 months or at least a year, because again, grief doesn't really resolve, it doesn't go away. And so when we say prolonged grief disorder, we're not talking about continued grief. Of course, we're not talking about that. We're talking about intense, impairing grief that just doesn't let you move forward in your life in any way.
As you look at the pandemic, that is you at the epicenter closing in all around us here in the U.S. now after the waves from New York, people are unable to have traditional memorial services or funerals. What can they do about the grief when there isn't some traditional closure that has been in the past?
Right. And that's such a good question. And of course, it makes it so much harder. And I think what the first most important thing that people can do is to not get too caught up in how terrible it is that they can't do that. Because, of course, we all know it is not a good thing. It is kind of terrible that we can't have our usual ways of kind of saying goodbye, of honoring the person, and of getting some kind of closure on the death event itself. But we can't. We can't do it in the same way. And that's one of the important things to remember is that you can remember that we need to adapt to a world without this person in it, right? We need to adapt to a new life. We need to adapt to the absence of this person. And actually, the Portuguese have a beautiful word for this. It's called saudade. I'm not sure I'm pronouncing that right, but it means the presence of absence. Yeah. And it's kind of, that's how you live after someone dies.
We're talking about loss amid the pandemic with psychiatrist Dr. Kathy Scheer, who founded the Center for Complicated Grief at Columbia. Have you lost someone from the pandemic who you would like to remember now? Tell us about them, what they were like, what they mean to you in your life. It's 800-642-1234. You can write about them. Send us an email to ideas@WPR.org. We'll be back in a minute on the Ideas Network. If you're just joining us, we're talking about what the pandemic has taken from us, not the statistics or the devastating economic loss. It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. We're looking at the seemingly unbearable loss of loved ones. How do you remember and honor family and friends who have died from the pandemic? Are you experiencing a loss now? What can you say about this person? The conversation is at 800-642-1234. We have Dr. Kathy Scheer in New York. She's a psychiatry professor at the Columbia School of Social Work. And now let's bring in Scotty Lee Myers, a producer and journalist at Milwaukee PBS. He's remembering his longtime friend, Donnie Fostner, who died on April 2nd. And Scotty is a former WPR staffer. Scotty, welcome back. And I'm sorry it's under these circumstances.
Oh, good morning, Kate. It's really appreciate the opportunity to talk about my friend Donnie.
What was he like?
Well, Donnie was an incredible person. I'm actually looking at a photo of him right now. It's probably like the first time we met. We're 9 years old. We're in our little soccer uniforms. This is when we played for the Forza soccer team. And it's so funny. He's got this like big cowlick right in the middle, which kind of parts his hair, and you see his big forehead even at 9 years old. And it's appropriate because Donnie is one of the smartest guys I've ever met. He went to UW-Madison and he double majored in nuclear engineering and physics. And what was so great about him is that he wasn't just like book smart. He had all types of intelligence and he never weaponized it, or he never talked down or condescending to folks about it. He was a connector to us friends. He was just a kind soul. He was a much better friend to me than I was to him or I am to other folks, which has been, particularly tough to grapple with, but I am grateful that he sort of showed me how to be a better person, how to be a better friend to those around me.
I understand he had moved to New York to pursue a job as a trader.
Yeah, so Donnie, because Donnie was so smart with equations and his time at Madison, he was first a trader in Chicago, and then recently, in January, he had moved out to New York City, and he became a stock trader there. He was living in the Brooklyn neighborhood, and over the last couple of months, he had been very careful about not taking public transportation and washing his hands. And a week before Donnie died, he sent me a text message. He knows I'm a journalist, and he was always trying to get my angle and perspective on things. And he sent me a text message saying, "Scotty, how are things in Wisconsin? I'm at a line in Walgreens right now in New York City. You wouldn't believe it. Hey, let's catch up. Let's, give me a call later." And that was like the last text message that he sent me, was about coronavirus. And then on April 2nd, he was rushed to the hospital, was put on a ventilator, and did not last too much longer than that. I do need to add a little caveat, and this is part of the complication of grieving right now, not that it makes a huge difference to me or his family members or his other friends. Donnie died very suddenly, which seems to be the case for a lot of young people who have died to COVID-19. And because he died so quickly, when the doctor called Donnie's mom, the doctor said, everything here points to COVID-19. But because he is already deceased, we cannot waste a test on Donnie. Yeah. So there is sort of that uncertainty for his family. But that's not what matters to us. What matters to us is that beautiful Portuguese word that we're living to live with a huge absence right now.
This is Milwaukee journalist Scotty Lee Myers, who has lost his friend Donnie Fostner. And we have Dr. Kathy Scheer here, founding director of the Center for Complicated Grief. Dr. Scheer, do you have any wisdom to share in Scotty's situation and the family there with a sudden death, and the family doesn't have the closure with the cause?
Yes, well, I mean, I first have to say it's just so heartbreaking. What a heartbreaking story. And so my heart goes out to all of you, to the family and friends, to Donnie's family and friends, Scotty. And also, what a beautiful, beautiful tribute to him I feel almost like I might know him. You painted such a really warm and loving picture of him. And I guess one of the things is you can notice that as you were telling that part of the story, I could almost sense the warmth and the positive emotions. And that's so important that we always allow ourselves those positive moments, even if they're brief in the beginning, but to be able to build on those is really important, because positive emotions have healthy physical and psychological effects on us. And so it's part of the strength that we get to get through all this is from those moments of actually positive emotions. So maybe that's the main thing about this particular case. And of course, well, you asked me about the uncertainty, and you know, I think that's that's also very hard. But again, it sounds like you're accepting it, and it is something that's going to come back and kind of haunt you a little bit in your thoughts, but just gently setting that aside and not getting too caught up in it, because there's nothing at all you're ever going to be able to do about that. And so, you know, you need to be able, we all need to accept what we can't change, right?
Mm-hmm. Scotty,
I just wanted to comment on that real quick, because, you know, we've been sort of talking about complicated grief, and I know there's sort of an updated term for that, which I failed to remember, so my apologies. But what has been very interesting and grieving in this moment, of course, is that we cannot be physically together. I mean, Donnie's memorial service was, you know, sort of streamed on Facebook and social media, and it was like 5 immediate family members there, which just broke your heart, and they had to sort of stay 5 feet apart. What us friends and family members did before this memorial service was we did a big Zoom call, and I think everyone in the world can relate to how terrible Zoom calls are right now. That, you know, someone's not putting their mic on mute, that there's kids running around in the background, which is beautiful chaos in many ways. But it can be a little tough to have organized thoughts and, you know, talk cohesively. I'll tell you what, I was skeptical of doing a big Zoom call about this, and there we were. It was 50 to 75 of us, and we each took a turn, and we just told a little story or anecdote. And even in this virtual world, this turn-taking that happened, these great stories, you know, I wonder if I would have heard all of these stories had I gone to a traditional funeral service. Would I have approached each little group and pocket of people and introduced myself and have them do the same in return? I don't know if that would have happened. And so there's always drawbacks to our modern world, but I really did find comfort in this sort of virtual gathering space and seeing Donnie's mom and dad, his brother and his sister and his brother-in-law, their faces as they sort of reacted and absorbed and took in these stories we were telling about Donnie. It was quite beautiful. And, you know, there was one of my friends during that Zoom call said, Donnie was one of the people who knew me best. And that just rang so true for me. He was the kind of guy who just kind of put you at ease. Mm-hmm. And you gave a version of yourself to him that you didn't to other people, this best version, this the ugly versions of yourself, too. It was so just a plug for some of these virtual spaces that sometimes get a bad rap.
Oh, that's so interesting, Dr. Scheer.
I was thinking the exact same thing. And I think, you know, sometimes I've said to people, I know this is kind of weird, but I've said to people that the coronavirus was kind to us in that it waited to mutate until we had, you know, this digital world, which we have a love-hate relationship with for sure. But imagine if all of this was happening and we couldn't connect in this way. I mean, how much harder it would be. I think it really would be. But the other thing I'll say about that is humans are incredibly creative and resilient. And I think we would have found some way to do this kind of thing, to do something for each other, because that's what we do.
I think, Scotty, I also found comfort in knowing that Donnie was reaching out to his family every day saying, I'm okay, I'm okay, sending them pictures of even a thermometer.
Right. Yeah, he was extremely close to his family. You know, many of us went through a phase when we were in high school or younger, maybe even a little bit older, where we sort of pushed our parents away. Donnie never had that phase. He was always very tight with his family. And when you went to the Foster house, his parents, Rod and Jenny, who are fantastic human beings, and I know that Jenny is really grieving right now by doing a lot of gardening and sort of a tribute garden to Donnie, and she's posting pictures and she's getting her hands in the dirt. And I know that's relieving and alleviating some pain for her. But when we would go to their house when we were younger, we would all sit by the kitchen table, their island there, and we would just sort of be free to talk, that we might not be able to do with other of my friends' parents. Incredible family. He's got incredible support system.
Scotty, thank you so much for sharing. Appreciate it.
Yes, thank you. Yeah, I just want to offer my condolences to everyone else who's joining this hour to talk about their loss. So thank you so much.
We have psychiatrist Kathy Scheer here as well, and we welcome you to share a bit about someone whom you've lost. How do you want the world to remember them? How did they touch your life? Let us know how you're doing, 800-642-1234. We'll pick this up after a news update on the Ideas Network. It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. A quick programming note here. Join us tonight at 8 for a conversation about how racial and cultural trauma affect communities of color. The special is called Call to Mind, a Spotlight on Black Trauma and Policing. That's this evening at 8 on the Ideas Network. Now we're honoring and remembering the lives lost from the coronavirus pandemic. Here in Wisconsin, as of Wednesday, we've lost 616 people. Is your loved one reflected in this number? We invite you to share, 800-642-1234. We have psychiatrist Dr. Kathy Scheer. She founded the Center for Complicated Grief at Columbia University. And now let's bring in Lamont Shelton, a school administrator at Morse Middle School for the Gifted and Talented in Milwaukee. He's remembering Coach Ralph Davis. They met while working on a mentorship program. Lamont, thank you for being here and sharing.
Thank you for having me. Good morning.
Good morning. We also have Marlon Boyd, the athletic director at Washington High, and he lost two friends from the pandemic. Coach Ralph Davis died in March, and Billy Ross, a former basketball and football star at Washington High, who went on to become a homeless advocate. He had died in April. Marlon, so sorry for the loss, and thank you for being with us.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Marlon, tell us about Coach Davis. What was he like?
Well, I think for 25 years, me and Davis have been really good friends. He's someone I looked up to. It's just crazy that I was coaching with him, and then I would become the athletic director, and he would become one of my coaches. And he was just a great guy, great smile, wonderful person. And he really loved kids.
How did he do with the kids?
He was awesome with the kids in every capacity. In the coaching capacity, he coached track, basketball, and he did Special Olympics, Special Olympic basketball. So in that capacity, he was wonderful with the kids. His whole focus was about kids. It was nothing more important to him than dealing with the kids before, after school, or during school. He was just a great guy. And a great mentor to a lot of the young men that came through Washington. And for 25 some odd years, he was there as a person as an outlet, someone that they can sit down and talk with, and someone that can help them get through problems and troubles that they were dealing with. Go ahead.
Lamont, how did you meet Coach Davis? How did you encounter him?
Well, I had the opportunity to meet Coach Davis through the mentoring program when I was working with Running Rebels back in 2007. So about 13 years, I had the opportunity to just know this man and to meet him and to just be around him and to just see the effect that he had, just like Mr. Ballin said, on kids and even adults. I mean, just a gentle guy, gentle smile, but at the same time, don't take that gentle smile and a gentle guy as it being weak, just a no-nonsense type of guy when it comes to just affecting the community in a positive manner, especially with our young black men, just a father figure to them, really going to tell things how it is, even for adults. If you're having issues and problems or you're having a bad day, Coach Ralph will be the one that you can talk to about anything, basically. Just understanding that he was there for you. He was really there for the kids. He loved his job. He loved what he did and loved what he was doing during that time. And it was more about a family. It was more about understanding what's important in life, and what's important is just balance through any adversity that you had, and you know, looking at the positive side of things. And that's what Coach Ralph was to a lot of men in the community, and a lot of guys who looked up to him as being father figures, especially our young men that was in the schools and those individuals whom he coached.
He touched many in the community and was a voice of reason, I am told. Dr. Scheer, how can the loss of a person, a public figure in a community, in a neighborhood, how can that impact that neighborhood?
Well, of course, it's totally heartbreaking. And the loss of that person who was there for you, for so many people, it sounds like so many, many people, and especially so many kids, excuse me, who really, really need that kind of thing. And so the loss is profound. But at the same time, you know, I think one of the important things about losing people is that the people that affect us in our lives, who, especially ones that affect us deeply and personally, they reside within us as well as being very important in our, you know, external life, so to speak. And so over time, this doesn't happen right away, but, well, maybe it does happen a little bit right away, but, you know, over time, for sure, we can start to accept the fact that they're not going to be able to give us that advice about that problem that we have right now in the way they did before. But actually, we can often sort of draw on our knowledge of them, because we do have a very deep understanding of the people who are very close to us and who impact us in an important way. It's kind of, they kind of get mapped in our brains, literally, in our memory systems, in different kinds of memory systems that we have. And so, you know, we can take those moments and we can kind of have an imaginary conversation with them down the road. And often we, you know, people will learn very surprising things in doing something like that. So, and it doesn't even have to be so deliberate and overt, because those people will still be that voice in our mind. Mm. So that's, I think, the short term, it's very sad. And the long term, I think we can tell the stories. And then,
Marlon, have you been thinking about the conversations you've had with Coach Davis and some of the words he used to say?
Well, you know, the crazy thing about it was the Friday that the pandemic hit, and it hit really heavy when they shut the schools down. That Friday, me and him was coming down the elevator, and we were just having short talk, and we was walking towards the back door together, and I seen, this is the last words I said to him, "Hey, man, I'll see you when we get back." He was like, "I'll see you next week." It was a Friday, and that's the last time I seen him.
Oh.
And I think when I think about just the small things, you know, I've seen him at his strong points and I've seen him at some weak points, because I had time to share. Me and him would share a lot of personal stuff, you know. He's a genuinely great guy. So, you know, it's a hard loss to hear how I heard he dies. You know, something came over Facebook, and I found out he passed, and I had to make some phone calls to find out, was it really true? So, yeah, it ain't been easy. He's a giant in the Washington community, in the Washington family. I'm a Pergolder. He's a Pergolder, and we're family. And to lose one, but not just one, but two, it was devastating to the community.
We have Marlon Boyd and Lamont Shelton, who both knew Coach Ralph Davis, who passed from the coronavirus in March. We also have Dr. Kathy Scheer, founding director of the Center for Complicated Grief at Columbia University. Let's take a call now. Bill is with us from Barnesville. Hi, Bill.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Yeah, great program. I lost two of my older brothers over within just a few years of each other, not to COVID, but to other illnesses. And they were two of the biggest hearted people I'd ever known. And I'd known them every day of my life. So it was quite a big loss. But what I learned from that experience, one is that grief isn't anything to be avoided. It's actually praise for the person we lost. I hope to God people are crying at my funeral. I'll be a bit disappointed and feel I didn't live a very good life, if that's the case. So the grief for me was something kind of bittersweet and really something to dive into is praise for them and not to be avoided or, you know, anesthetized or whatever. And for, you know, a few years after they died, I carried a lot of, you know, self-pity and resentment that I should have had my brothers longer in my life. But over time, that just turned to gratitude. So I focused on the years I did have with them. And sorry, I'm getting a little bit choked up. But now I just can think of them with gratitude rather than, you know, the years I didn't have with them are just that, you know, that's just fantasy anyway. They died when they should have, according to the arc of their life. The other piece of it is when they died, I thought my relationship with them was over. But that's just a belief. I mean, I don't know that for real or for true. And so now I choose to have a relationship with them. And I have a little ritual. I talk to them every morning. So my relationship with them has continued. Whether or not that's actually true or not, the fact that I choose to believe that my relationship with them has continued is a really good thing.
So Bill, thank you so much for sharing that. And Dr. Scheer, I want you to be able to jump in here about how Bill turned that self-pity and that resentment feelings over to gratitude.
Yes, thank you so much for that story, Bill, and so sorry for this really, really painful loss that that obviously still impacts your life so much. So yes, you know, in addition to the healing milestones that we talked about, there are derailers and actually that can derail that process of healing after loss. And they're also very, very natural and actually maybe even part of an overall adaptive system. But if they get a foothold, as apparently one of them did kind of in your case for a little while, at least, and that can happen so easily, then it really does derail the process. And so I'm so glad that you were able to really move through that. So one of the derailers, I guess, I'm not sure which one of these it was, but anger and bitterness about losing people that mean so much to you, you know, like, I guess you called it self-pity or resentment. But that feeling like this shouldn't have happened, this death shouldn't have happened, that it was unfair or wrong or shouldn't have happened, and feeling angry and bitter about it. It's so natural. I think everyone feels that when they lose someone close, at least a little bit. And sometimes it's stronger than others, but it is one of those things that you kind of have to pay attention to because it can hold you back.
Dr. Kathy Scheer, who stays with us. We also have Marlon Boyd on the line, Lamont Shelton, remembering Coach Ralph Davis. We'll be back in just a moment. Stay with us on the Ideas Network. It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We're welcoming your reflections on losing a loved one at this time and what this grief feels like at 800-642-1234. We have Dr. Kathy Scheer, founder and director of the Center for Complicated Grief. Lamont Shelton is here as well. Lamont is the school administrator at Morris Middle School in Milwaukee. He's remembering Coach Ralph Davis. And Marlon Boyd, athletic director at Washington High, remembering his longtime friend, Coach Davis, and Billy Ross. Marlon, you have someone else in your life who has been lost to the pandemic. Billy Ross, can you tell us about him?
Billy Ross is the reason why that 1985 state championship team was the reason why I chose to go to Washington High School. And those were the guys that I looked up to when I was a kid in middle school. And Billy was a big spirit, big man. Really big man of stature. He was an icon in the Washington Sherman Park area. He worked at Levon Way. He would be in these places and he'd just be around. And he's just a great guy to be around kids and adults. And everybody would go to him and talk with him. he was the dude that everybody looked up to. He was just a great guy.
And he helped he helped people who were homeless.
Oh yeah, he worked at the Milwaukee Rescue Mission, and he had been doing that for some time now. I remember when I met him, he was just a great spirit. He was like, "You going to Washington, huh?" You know, so we got into that conversation, and he just gave me some pointers. And from there on, when I became the athletic director, I asked him for his support to come back to the school, and he had been coming to all the games. He makes sure he's there. He makes sure he's visible at the school from time to time when he has some free time. And he was a great person.
Marlon, have you been able to attend any memorial services?
I seen Davis's via the Zoom,
mm-hmm.
and Billy. It was some conflicting times with the funeral, and I didn't catch the right date. I missed the date, but I was able to go out and see his grave site. So I didn't. It was some conflicting time, and everybody's been really not so transparent on, you know how funerals are going to go, and we can't have these many people, and you know. So I was able to view Ralph Davis's the whole entire thing, but Billy Ross's I was not. I seen it online, but I was not able to be there. I would have loved to be there if I knew the correct date. There was two conflicting dates.
Sure, yeah.
And I missed the date.
Dr. Scheer, what can you say about finding closure? I know Marlon has been out to the gravesite to spend some time there. Does that help?
So I would think it would help for sure. And but again, you know, we one of the things that's so important in grief is that you kind of stay present to yourself and your own needs, and that you deal with the situation you're in. We were talking about this earlier, that you have to accept what you can't do anything about. So, you know, Marlon obviously can't go back and go to that funeral that he really would have liked to have been present at. So spending a lot of time thinking about how much he would have liked to have been there and how much better it would have been, that would not be too helpful. But finding another way to meet the inner need that he naturally feels, to honor his friend Billy and say goodbye to him and sort of connect himself with the reality of this death, which is so painful. All of that is what he's needing to do. And certainly things like going to the gravesite, I would think would be helpful, or watching this on online, as he said. Yeah.
We're remembering the people who have been lost from the pandemic, talking with Dr. Kathy Scheer, the director of the Center for Complicated Grief, Lamont Shelton here, Marlon Boyd as well, remembering Coach Ralph Davis, the beloved basketball and track coach at Washington High, and Billy Ross, a homeless advocate, and your thoughts as well on this time of loss. 800-642-1234. Let's bring in Tim now, joining us from Eau Claire. Hi, Tim.
Hi. My father passed away a couple months ago from complications from a surgery, but it was, of course, March 43rd, I think, right in the middle of the pandemic in the month that never ended. And his complications from surgery hit him after, so he was lucid for a while, but I wasn't able to visit him. It's been pretty hard. We're hoping eventually to be able to honor his wishes and have a big old party for him, but of course current situation doesn't allow for that. And the hardest part, two hardest parts I should say, is everybody asking me how I'm holding up, which of course just throws me right back into it, and wishing that he was here so I could talk to him about it, because he's the one I want to talk to about it.
Tim, thank you for calling. Dr. Scheer.
Tim, I'm so, so sorry about what a painful way to lose someone so close and so important. Not being able to go visit him in the hospital after surgery, just heartbreaking. And then, of course, losing him after that, even more so, not being able to honor his wishes to celebrate his life with a party. And then being kind of, I guess you said, everyone has to be home. And so that sort of makes it even harder, because I guess the usual things that you might be doing that both partly are honoring and sharing this loss and also partly distracting, none of that is possible in the same way, at least. And then that very, very poignant desire to have him to talk to. And I think, you know, these are things that are so important to voice and to stay connected with. And then also to kind of gently set aside and let yourself have some, you know, respite from this, and to either distract yourself or to think about the things that you really love about him in a way that, as we heard some of the earlier speakers, in the way that you can kind of emotionally connect to in the moment, at least. So those are the kinds of things that people can find helpful. And, you know, and as long as you don't, you know, we have a list of what we call derailers that are on our website. You might take a look at later, but as long as you don't get caught up in any of the derailers, you can kind of trust the process in a way. And over time, not in any specific, we don't have a time frame and we don't have a way this is going to happen, but you, I'm sure, will have the, you know, your body and mind will find its way forward as long as you don't get too caught up in some of these things.
Oh, Tim, thank you so much for calling in. Lamont, we're getting short on time here, but I want to ask you, have you learned anything new about yourself as you go through this pandemic and losing Coach Davis and being away from the kids and so much change?
Wow. Yes, I have. I've learned, which I always preach and talk about, that life is really short. It's too short. And when you have an opportunity to love on someone and to be around someone and to take in a person's personality, whether they're family, friends, individuals you've known for a long time, make it your duty to actually do that daily. Don't allow certain things and work and all these other things that sometimes are really insignificant in our lives to really grasp us and hold us and not give us an opportunity to just love on individuals the way we need to, and to be there for our kids and to be there for the community and to be there for those who look up to us in a positive manner. Not saying that we have all the answers, because collectively we have all the answers, brother to brother, sister to sister. And I've learned that during this pandemic and during these times of hardship is that don't take anything for granted. Really, really live your life by faith, that that's what you believe in, and really love on individuals the way you need to, and don't let small things get in the way of you being the best person you possibly can while you're here.
Lamont, thank you. Marlon, thank you as well. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Thank you for having me as well.
Dr. Scheer, thank you for spending the hour with us, and take care.
Thank you so much for having me, and thank you to everyone who spoke today. It was very, very moving.
This is The Morning Show, and you're listening to the Ideas Network.